Good morning and welcome. This is Heidi Hahn-Scott, your weight loss mentor for the Right Body, Right Life 12-week intensive. I have a great speaker planned for you today and a wonderful, dynamic, healthy, vibrant woman who's going to share her experience, strength, and hope with you and some great tools and tips. So we're so excited to have her. The last call of our program is coming up, and we're going to wind down this segment and talk about your new journey and how to move forward. So we are going to have a wonderful speaker. It's Darshana Weil. I'm so happy to have her on the call, and I'll let her talk about herself. So welcome.
Well, thank you so much, Heidi, for giving me this opportunity to, you know, work with there and share with the women in this class. I just was sitting with it this morning and just feeling so blessed to be a part of this Right Body, Right Life 12-week weight loss intensive. So, Heidi, thank you so much. And like she said, my name is Darshana Weil. I'm a food freedom mentor and a yoga teacher. So because you don't know me and we're going to spend this time together, I just thought it might be a good idea to share with you a little bit about my story and my journey and why I've chosen to be a food freedom mentor in my life. So I'll tell you a little secret. I am still find it shocking that I no longer think about food all the time, that I don't beat myself up anymore when I look in the mirror, and that I have led hundreds of women to help them find their liberation with food. It's shocking to me. Food is just something that fuels me now. And these constant thoughts that I used to have about food in my body, they're no longer knocking on my door, you know, distracting me from my life. I recently moved to Marin, California, and I bought what I'm calling my dream house. And it's not because I had some fantasy about what a house was going to be or even really what I wanted it to look like, but it's because I'm in touch with my needs now, and this house is really meeting two essential needs of mine. And now I know through things that Heidi has told me that you're learning about, you know, how to contact your needs and how they relate to what I call the food freedom journey. So this beautiful house that I live in, it meets my need for comfort and being down to earth and kind of live off the land kind of girl. Well, it meets my other need for like my New York City, that's where I'm from, my action, adventure, culture. So I can have my rural life here in West Marin and I can hop on into San Francisco, you know, in under an hour and get that need met. And why that's important, I think, to share, you know, in this Right Body, Right Life program is because part of the reason I ate so much was because I couldn't figure out my authentic self. I was really wrapped up, you know, a lot in like, well, who am I for so long? And that question really haunted me that I ate over that, you know, not really being able to find the truth for myself. And just a little bit more about me, I spend a lot of days with my 4-year-old daughter. And I love having that freedom to be able to do that because of this awesome job I've created that allows me to really have the flexibility to do my own self-care, have quality time with friends and family and my community. But this awesome quality of life that I have now and peace of mind was not the way it's always been. I had a nickname for myself. I called myself a failed bulimic. I had an ambition to actually be a bulimic, but I couldn't do it. I was really an expert on the binging part, but I couldn't quite figure out the other part of being a bulimic. So therefore, I had to go on crazy diets or exercise so I could drop those 20 pounds in 2 weeks to fit into that dress I needed to wear. And even when I did achieve the weight goal, I was really not happy. I just knew that another binge was around the corner, you know, lurking, and the pounds would come back on, and I'd really be right back where I started. Day after day, I went thinking about food, eating my emotions, seeing no way out, and I really craved a quick fix, and I wanted it now. At the peak of my binging and dieting cycle, I was practicing yoga, and it was the one place I really felt empowered and calm and connected, especially to my body. And this way of being, it was kind of automatic the minute I walked into the yoga studio, and it was this complete contrast to the way my life was off the mat. I was also an actress working regionally and on national tours. And between gigs, I waitressed at fast-paced Italian restaurants in New York City. And during my waitressing time, my friends and I, my other waitresses, we would sneak food into the bathroom between orders. This is all at the peak of my dieting, binging cycle. So one night, one of my waitress friends mentioned that she'd taken the special chocolate fudge layer cake into the third bathroom stall, and she tapped me onto my shoulder, and she said, "It's waiting for you." Well, can you imagine, right? I was totally gone. Like, I don't even know what happened between then and the moment my manager tapped me on the shoulder and said, "It's break time." I just was thinking about this cake. And I dashed into the bathroom, and there I was in the third bathroom stall on a five-minute break tearing through this piece of cake. And I was about finished when I stopped mid-bite, and I opened the bathroom stall, and I looked at myself in the mirror. And I asked myself, is this the person I want to be? And this thought, it just like flashed through my mind, and it went, take the yoga off the mat and into the kitchen. And I was just standing there, and it just seemed so obvious. Eating, or rather overeating, right? It was the one consistent place I went unconscious. And in contrast, during yoga, I felt vibrant, alive, and connected. And I started questioning if I could apply this level of awareness to my relationship to food. And so it was right there in the bathroom that I set this goal for myself, to learn new tools and commit once and for all to completely break the binge diet cycle and take control of my relationship to food. And I was scared, but I knew I had to do it. And it took strength, and it took courage and trust and community. But I really didn't see another choice. Like, I didn't want to be dealing with this 5, 10, 20 years from now. I wanted to live a life free from food. So I set sail on my journey to learn the tools that would lead me to my food freedom. And now I can say food's not the enemy. That the inner critic that I know that we all have has been totally tamed. And if she comes up, I have tools to work with it in a matter of seconds to get her back in alignment. And instead of spending all that energy stuffing down my feelings and beating myself up, I've learned to work with my feelings so I could finally focus on fulfilling my dreams. I love living in the skin that I'm in right now. And with all these incredible changes, I just couldn't keep it to myself. I mean, I never thought my path would stray from performing. But I wanted other women to feel the same way I was feeling. And that's why I dedicated myself to being a food freedom mentor for the past 16 years, and I've supported over 900 women worldwide to find their food freedom. And because I've seen it in those other women, I now know and believe that any woman who suffers from uncontrollable cravings and dieting and weight, they can also have an amazing relationship to food. And I know that's exactly what Heidi's been sharing with you. So on today's call, what I want to do is share with you the number one component to say yes to every food choice you make without feeling deprived. And I'm excited to teach you how to get the exact personal nourishment you're looking for to fulfill cravings. And I want to help you clarify what you're committed to when you reach for food. So let's all just take a deep breath in right now and just kind of take in that story. And you can notice if there's any parts of the story that you feel connected to or maybe feel a little far into you. You know, whatever it is, just how you're relating to my story and where you are today in this journey. I heard Heidi say that your last class is coming up. So, you know, you're kind of, you know, you're not at the upward arch of this program. You're kind of on the downhill. And I know that there's more coming that Heidi's going to share with you about what you can do to continue your process. But just really could connect into where you are and what resonated from my story. I invite you to just take a deep breath in. And then just let it go. So one of the issues I see in all this time I've been working with clients with their relationship to food, you know, so the issue I see with the binge diet cycle is that the battle with losing and regaining the same 10 or 20 or 50 or 75 or more pounds is that it's one that's often happening from the head up. You know, we think about what to eat. We count our calories sometimes. We weigh our food. We read lots of books. We listen to the experts. We're calculating. And we also have a goal based on a number on the scale. And that's all really important. We want to have all that information. But if it starts to become a game of cans and can'ts, shoulds and shouldn'ts, it's only going to leave you feeling restricted and deprived. And when we give all of our attention kind of over to these, you know, ways of calculating, what I'm calling from the head up, we've really given away our power. And yet I believe that the power really lies within, no matter what the number is on the scale. But we're using our brains to achieve a goal we have for our body. So a solution, and I believe the number one component or tool we need in order to say yes to every food choice we're making and feel good about it, is that we must get into our body. You want to feel connected from the inside out. And you can start to work with the basics of body awareness and presence work. Because once we're in our bodies, it's really hard to stop listening. It's kind of like if we are embodied, when we reach for a food or we do an action that really goes against what our body is calling for, it's like our body won't let us. And I'll be sharing a little bit about how we can get into that in just a moment. So I'll just give you a little bit of like a framework here that I believe when we aim for weight loss or feeling good in our bodies, what we're really asking for in our lives is consciousness, that you're craving to be awake in the world. Because I imagine that if you're anything like me, you might have at one point in your life, or maybe even now, have a list of things like, well, when I lose weight, I will blah, blah, blah. And whatever the blah, blah, blah is, again, it's this calling and this aching for consciousness, for aliveness, to feel freer in yourself. But if we keep the aim only on the number and not what's going on inside, then no matter what, we're not going to feel fulfilled. I mean, I remember when I was at my all-time skinniest. I was at 115 pounds once, you know, and not when I was, you know, pre-puberty. This was like in my 20s. And I was miserable because I wasn't connected to my body. So let's get into our bodies a little bit. I want to do a couple exercises with you. And the first thing I want to do is give you a little bit of an anatomy lesson. And you know, in the food freedom programs that I do, I work on, you know, a lot of kind of what's happening inside. You know, where is my liver? Where is my kidneys? Where's my pancreas? You know, where is all this stuff that we're trying to heal through food inside? But the first place I like to help people get in touch with is actually our digestive system. And there's two reasons why I start with the digestive tract. One reason is for some women, not for everybody, but some women who have struggled with their weight or dieting or body image, you know, the mid part of our body, you know, between like our rib cage and our pubic bone, like that belly, that can often be an area of shame or embarrassment. A place I know for me, that's the main area I always wanted to like fix. Like if I could just fix my belly, then I'll be okay. And what's ironic about that is right underneath your belly is like where your colon is, like where your digestive tract is. And so a lot of women actually struggle with digestive issues. I've seen that a lot in my practice, and even for me, I was constipated for about 15 years. The other reason I like to start with the digestion, the digestive tract, is because we're not just digesting food in our life. We're really digesting everything that comes towards us, what people say, smells, information, experience. It's all can be filtered through the lens of how am I digesting that? So that's why I start with the digestive system. So there are four parts of digestion, and I go more into this in my Food Freedom Liberated Eating and Living audio program series. But for today, I just want to introduce you to the first four parts. Digestion, you may want to write this down, assimilation, absorption, and elimination. So how does this relate to your body? So I'm going to lead you through an exercise. So I don't know where you are, so I'll always say this, you know, if you're driving, then don't close your eyes. But if you're not driving and you have the ability to close your eyes, then I'd just like to invite you to do that right now. And as you close your eyes, let this start to be an invitation and a gateway into presence. Because really the fastest gateway to presence is to be awake in our body. And as you close your eyes, I invite you just to put your attention on your breath right now. And as you do that, it's just a nice way to start to collect to yourself. and take a deep breath in. And as you're ready, exhale. And do that again. Inhale. And exhale. And again, inhaling. This time make your exhale a little bit longer. And as you're doing this, I really want to invite you to relax. Relaxing into whatever is here right now. So you may notice as you're closing your eyes and you're breathing and you're inviting yourself to relax, you're noticing some tension or some aggravation or some excitement or some tension in the body. So just make space for whatever's here. We're not trying to cover it up by relaxation, but instead make some room for it. And when you're ready, I want to invite you to put your hands on your belly and breathe right into your belly. And put your right hand on your right hip bone. And just glide your right hand up sort of the front part of your body all the way till you can hit your right rib cage, your lower right floating ribs. And going from your right hip to your right rib, I just want to invite you into an acknowledgement of your ascending colon that's right there. And then the next time your hand is up at your floating ribs, just move your hand like directly across your body horizontally, right above your belly button. Move all the way over to the left floating ribs into your transverse colon and just do that motion a few times. Right here, moving from right rib to left rib and just massaging yourself here. And then when you're over at your left floating rib, just pause there for a second and let your left your hands go from your left floating rib down to your left hip. And that's your descending colon right there. And then you can just go from your right hip up to your right rib, across, and then back down, making this kind of horseshoe pattern into this colon area. And as you're doing that, I want you to start to breathe from the inside out. You can even just pause with your hand in one part, maybe just as you go through the transverse colon, just rest your hand there and see if you can start to breathe from your inner body and feel how your inner body moves your outer body. And just start to sense your body again from inside. Maybe you feel some tingling. Maybe you feel a gripping, like a holding on from the inside. And as we move through like weight loss, you know, that can sometimes take a long time. So notice like any maybe frustrations that come up or eagerness or excitement. As you just make contact to this area where your digestion takes place. And as you become more and more aware of this ascending colon, this transverse colon, this descending colon, and just noticing what comes up as you're making contact with this area of your body, just note it. Say like, oh, I'm feeling calm, or I'm feeling tension, or I feel a longing to move away from it or towards it. And then when you're ready, just open up your eyes.
I love just being able to take that pause and have the same experience, like just to slow down enough to actually touch that area of my body. How I also was one that abdomen was one that I wanted to get rid of, or my belly was always bigger and I have stretch marks and I had this whole story around my abdomen. And just to touch my own abdomen and like pause was so comforting, and it kind of gave me a memory of when I was pregnant and the comfort I felt in just rubbing my belly. And it brought back also the memory of that I have not touched my belly like that since I was pregnant. And it's like, wow, why don't I rub my own belly? Just for me. Yeah, so that's, I thought I would share that.
Thank you, Heidi. And I think that is like the point, right? Is that like here we are trying to make this, have this weight loss and find out what our right body is, and we want all this. But if we're doing it only from our mind and not going like, oh, what's it like to be actually inside my body? And, you know, I've been pregnant too, and I remember that like rubbing of my belly and talking to my baby and all of that. But, right, like what is that like to just make contact with yourself? Make contact right there from inside out. Oh, this is what I'm trying to transform. So that's kind of an exercise that I want to invite you into, you know, as something that you can practice at home. Just, and I heard you, Heidi, say that there was kind of a pleasant experience with it right now, a memory, a fond memory. But at the same time, I want to also invite those of you, like when I first started doing this exercise, I was so angry at my belly. I couldn't even make contact with my belly. I was just frustrated all the time and mad at it and angry. I used to take my hands and actually beat my belly up during like the peak time of my hatred to my body. So I just want to say that if that's your response, to just see if we can just make space for that. Because when we can get real with what is actually happening in our relationship to our body, then the weight loss is going to happen that much quicker. And how this relates to the four parts of digestion is that the food that we're eating on a technical level, you know, we're actually digesting it and we're trying to assimilate it and absorb it and eliminate it. But again, all of our life is really a process of what are you digesting, what are you assimilating, what are you absorbing, and what are you eliminating. And if weight is one of the things that you want to be eliminating, then you need to go back a couple steps and see, well, what are you actually digesting, assimilating, and absorbing? And again, I go into this a little bit more and in my major programs and especially in my Liberated Eating and Living audio program, but I wanted to just kind of start to plant this seed for you today around this idea of what are you digesting? How are you, you know, taking it all in and start, you know, I mean, I wish we had a whole day, but, you know, this is what I can give for you because I want to move on to this next part, which has to do with, you know, actually the food that we're eating. And so, you know, a lot of times women will ask me, you know, how much should I eat? Or, you know, what's the best vegetable? Or should I do raw or cooked? But unless we have this distinction that I want to make for you right now, that again goes back to this digestion, no combination of like the right foods, like do I get like this many vegetables and this much meat, or should I eat grains? Are they a triggering food for me? None of that's really going to really land in this very internal way unless we have a distinction between what I call secondary food and primary food. And so secondary food is the things on your plate, right? Your carbs, your fats, your proteins, your water, what you're actually eating. And primary food is really how all of life is nourishing you. So I'm going to go into that a little bit deeper on both levels. So if we look more at secondary food, most of us have grown up looking at food from a very Western nutrition standpoint. You know, I'm in my 40s, so, you know, I grew up originally with the four food groups and then moved to the healthy eating pyramid. You know, again, I'm assuming something for a moment, but I'm sure many of you have been on many diets, right? So calorie counting and point systems, and I know that that's something that Heidi's really, like, working on with you in terms of, like, how to use those to your benefit, but then how to become more empowered over them. And all of that is, like, again, wonderful information. But I also want to bring in the whole aspect of the Eastern philosophies with secondary food. And so just for a moment, like this is going to be a very quick visualization, just close your eyes for a minute and imagine your pantry, like not your refrigerator, but your pantry. And I just want you to kind of do a scan of the foods that are in there. And I'm going to assume for a moment there's some foods that are in some boxes and some foods that are in some cans. And just like notice if you can feel into the energy or the life force in those foods right there. And just take a deep breath into that visualization, like really going like, oh yeah, that's what that is like. Not making it wrong, not making it better or worse. That's just what it is. And now I want you to imagine yourself in a field of vegetables, in a garden with open space and the sky and the sun and maybe the dew from the early morning or this rain that we just got here in Northern California. And now imagine the energy coming off of those foods. Then I want you to go back to your pantry and just see if you can, even if you don't know anything about energy work or anything, it doesn't matter. Just to start to feel into going back and forth from pantry to garden, pantry to garden. And then as you're doing that, notice that you're the one who is relating to this experience. You're the one feeling how that food is going to go into your body, this pantry food, and how the food of the garden is going to go into your body. And then just let it go and open your eyes. So my point in bringing you through that little visualization is to start to recognize that life force is something that you want to be putting into your body. And there's lots of ways to learn about the energy of food. There's this very esoteric book called The Energy of Food, Energetics of Food by Steve Gagné. And I will totally say it right here, it's a really out there kind of book, but it's fun. And when I read that book, it just stretched my mind beyond how I was trained about food, beyond like thinking about food as good or bad or calories or points or any of that. And I started saying, how do I want to feel from the inside out? How do I keep wanting to nourish myself? And all those wonderful tools I had learned from Western nutrition combined with all these Eastern philosophies around food, Ayurvedics, macrobiotics, energies of food, this was all something that I started to say like, oh, if I'm connected to myself, right, if I close my eyes, if I connect to my body from the inside out, if I actually start making physical contact with my body, with my own hands, and then think about what kind of energy do I want to fill my body up with, I'm naturally going to want to choose foods that have more energy in them. If I'm looking for more energy in my life, I want to eat foods that will give me more energy. And the choice, the decision-making process of, should, you know, do I want to reach for the cookie, which I reached for many, became less and less of the drive, and I started to really want to feel good again from the inside out. So this whole kind of concept and idea is really to help you start to stretch your thinking. So I just want to see if anybody has any questions about that. And it could be a question, it could be an insight, it could be a discovery that you've already had about this, a sharing, anything at all. I always know it's funny when I ask for questions and you don't know me yet and stuff like that. So don't feel any pressure. I just want to make space in case somebody has something to say.
Hi. It was an interesting exercise. When I visualized my pantry, I was like, oh, too excited about the pantry. I'm like, it's always full, but I hardly use anything in there, which is pretty interesting. And I restock some of the same things in there, but I very rarely use it. And then I thought of the field with the fresh fruit, and I'm like, oh, this feels really good. You know, I feel light. I feel healthy. And then when you say go back to the pantry, I kind of went, oh. You know, so I think it's time to clean out my pantry and get rid of all this dead energy, because some of the stuff, I have to say, it's kind of sad. It's probably been in there for a while, but
right.
It's one of those, well, you know, maybe someday I'm going to cook with it. I'm like, really? You're not.
So that's great, Sue. First of all, just thanks for sharing. Second, I want to relate to some of the things that you're saying. So thanks for playing it, because you played it so fully and you really got a direct experience, you know, between the ooh and the feel good and light and healthy. And so I want to just acknowledge that the pantry is good, right? The pantry is good for convenience. You know, I really like making my own fresh beans, but the truth is that when I'm running in the house, my 4-year-old is like screaming, like a can of beans gets opened. You know what I mean? So we want to use the pantry for the things that we want to be conscious is really what it is. But I really invite you, too, to, like, clean out that stuff. I remember I did that. You know, it's like, how long has that box been in there, you know? And when you do that, you're really saying, like, that energy is gone, and what, and you have more space to invite what you want in. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm really getting a lot out of your examples and this visualization of the pantry and the garden. I love to shop at the farmer's market, and I was remembering even more being in a garden. My dad was a farmer, and the smell of tomatoes or the smell of like peaches or any, you know, it's just so beautiful, the smell and the energy around it. When my eyes were closed, I could see like rainbow things or bursts of energy, each fruit unique and alive, and so that was really beautiful for me to do that. And then I pictured the candy and the ice cream as just being black and dead and bleh. So that was real helpful to me, so thank you.
Oh, Judy, thank you for sharing that. And you had this experience of, like, you know, your dad being a farmer and having those smells. So, and I just want to say that all of that is really available inside of you. You're just an extension of that garden, you know? And so the more we can kind of visualize that when we're going towards food, the reason you choose, whether it's the tomatoes or the ice cream, will become more apparent, and you'll get to work on those deeper underlying issues that are causing us to kind of reach for foods that perhaps we don't want anymore. So thank you.
I love what you brought up and this analogy, and it was really profound for me looking at the energy of that, and I also love energy work. But I just want to speak to what we've been talking about. A lot of times when people are losing weight, you know, the word deprive comes up. Well, I don't want to deprive myself of this food or that food, or I feel deprived. And really the mind shift that comes when we open up to consciousness, which is what you're sharing so profoundly today, is that we get to choose. There's no right or wrong choice, but we get to choose. And for me, when I think of deprivation now, I think when I choose other foods, which I don't now, but when I choose other foods, that I'm depriving myself of vibrant energy, of feeling light, of all those things that I feel when I do choose garden food or when I do choose energetic food. And I feel really deprived when I deprive myself of that feeling now. And so I love that the shift can happen, that the deprivation can come from not having the mind shift of what are we really depriving ourselves of? Because for me, 2 minutes of taste is depriving me of all those wonderful feelings that last longer when I put really powerful fuel into my body.
Totally. And that's a great segue into where I'm going. And I'll just share this really quick thing that the other day I was doing a meditation, and I was just really feeling so much nourishment from my breath alone. And I was like, oh my God, when I'm not even aware of just breathing, I miss out on this amazing vibrant energy that's inside of me. So that's what you're speaking about. The work of the food freedom work is, it's all about freedom. It's all about choice. I can choose to eat ice cream and candy and cakes. And sometimes I do. And sometimes it's like, wow, my impulse to go there is not based on what I really want to nourish myself. It's based on other things, right? And I'm going to talk about that in a moment. And so, yeah, Heidi, that's why I love teaching with you, because we're so on the same page.
Yeah, and I know you're going to go into this, and we've been talking about that conflict of, is what I really want, is my behavior matching it? And
right.
So I just want to throw out the question is, what do you really want to fuel yourself with today, just for today? And think of that in terms of people, of breath, like Darshana just said, of fuel. And I'm so excited of what you're going to share next.
Okay, well, let's jump into it. So I mentioned this other distinction that we need to really find the nourishment that we're looking for. So the secondary food helps us to make the distinction of, like, what do we need nutritionally? And then there's other nutrition that we need, and that comes from taking a look at what we call primary food, and that's how all of life feeds you. And you can think about it like this, too. Is all of life feeding you or depleting you? And believe me, just like junk food is going to deplete you, there is primary food that depletes you, too. So the main primary foods I'm talking about are things like our relationships, our what I call career, or what you do, exercise or spirituality. Those are kind of the top four. But even down to the books you read or the movies you see is primary food. And this goes directly back to the first thing I spoke about, which was digestion. How are we digesting our life? How are we digesting our food? And so you may be, you know, asking yourself, well, you know, how did the relationship deplete me? Well, you know, there's some friends I see and I'm like, oh my God, I want to spend all day and every day with you and blah, blah, blah. And other friends I'm like, I see them kind of coming and I'm like, oh God, I like this person. I'm just too much for me. Or our career. You can even love your career, but it could also deplete. I love my job as an actress. I love the job that I'm doing right now. But if I work too long on the computer or inside, food starts looking good. So primary food and secondary food are very related, right? That 3 p.m. lull, whether it's in the office or you're with your kids. What happens? Am I being nourished right now? And you end up going to food, or that 9 p.m. search in the kitchen. Is that something to have to do with intimacy or purpose in our life? Or did we get the movement today? Or do we feel spiritually connected? There's primary food and secondary food. And when these two overlap and we're really working with both consciously, we have what we call a food freedom life. I have an exercise here, which I want to take just a few moments to do. We might not get to the whole thing. But it's called the Wheel of Life. And you might have done this with Heidi, you might have done this, or with other kind of spiritual teachers. It's a common exercise, but it's so profound, I think, in terms of one's relationship to food and nourishment and this distinction of what is primary food. I want you to make a circle on your paper and kind of put it into a couple different, like a pizza pie, cut it up. So there's different slivers. And label them. So let's just do a few today. We'll do like spirituality. You can do your home environment. You can do, let's say, money or relationships. And that can be like, sometimes I like to put two different kinds of relationships on there, like friendships. And then there's like intimacy and lovers and sexuality. You can put education into one of your sort of pizza pie slices. And then to take a moment and just put, if you're feeling really depleted in that area of your life, put a little dot sort of more towards the middle of the circle in that pizza pie slice. And if you're feeling really abundant, then put it more towards the edge of the outer rim of the circle. And you can even number it, kind of like 1 is toward the middle and 10 is towards the outer rim. You can even go off the circle, be 11 or 12. I'm so fulfilled in this part of my area of my life. And just kind of go around the circle and put your numbers in and just start to see where it is in your life that you're feeling really abundant and where you may want to put some work or attention in your life. Is money kind of a stressful area for you right now? Is that more like a 2 or 3 or 4? Are you feeling like, hey, I got the money thing down. It's no problem. I got that at the 8 or the 9 or the 10 even. It's not an issue. And then you can start to notice and see, is this a bumpy ride? Is this a smooth ride? And how does this area of your life perhaps relate to your relationship to food? I remember when I was going through a really bad breakup, and I kind of had already had a lot of momentum with my food freedom at this time in my life, and then my partner left me. I thought we were going to get married and everything, and he left, and I kind of sunk down again and got really I was depressed, but I just kind of just felt all out of sorts. And this area of my life, I lived with him. And during those times when we would normally spend time together, I noticed myself going for food a lot more. And as I was like, oh my God, I have to do relationship work. Like, this is what's going on in my life. Or this way we can be around money. Maybe we're unconscious around relationship to money. And so how do we start to say, like, am I eating because I have fear around money stuff? It starts to just, again, bring this awareness out, bring this consciousness out. So I want to encourage you to really look at that wheel of life a little bit more as a way to really step into this question of how can I get the exact personal nourishment that you're looking for to fulfill your cravings? Because a lot of the times, the cravings that you're having are not cravings for food. They're cravings for touch. Or their cravings for security. And this goes back to my example of why I used my house, and buying this house was meeting needs of mine. When I'm out of sorts and I'm not in touch with my needs, then I may go to food. And this is just another way, another layering of how we can start to really look at what I call the food off of our plate. So just take a deep breath and just let yourself digest that. you may just want to write down a sentence or two of what's coming up for you as we look at this a little bit more deeply. So far, I've shared with you this number one component or tool we need in order to say yes to every food choice and how to get this exact nourishment to fulfill the real cravings that we're having in our life, what we really want. And in a moment, I want to help you clarify what you're really committed to when you reach for food through the lens of actually yoga philosophy. Because again, I was really practicing yoga, and it was about this yoga off the mat. But before I do that, I want to tell you a little bit about this client of mine I had, you know. So when I first met this client, you know, she shared with me that her thoughts about food and her body were just, you know, they really just controlled her life, and I could really relate. You know, she felt terrible physically. Every time she looked in the mirror, she sized up her body asking why she was so fat and bloated. She really had terrible digestion, constipation, binge eating, exercising like crazy. You know, very similar to the story I told you about myself. And she worked in a job that paid really well, but it really didn't do anything for her soul. And through working together, she realized that she had been focusing actually in the wrong direction. By all means, she needed to figure out this digestive issue she was having. Once she stopped only focusing on the constipation and the weight, she realized that there were areas of her life that needed attention. Two areas in particular, her relationship, well, actually, there were three. They were kind of combined, her relationship, career, spiritual journey. And the more she started to open up to the idea that this was related to her constipation, this was related to her weight and body image issues, something started to snap for her. And she especially made the connection between the stress that she felt going to work and not being able to kind of let go of her bowels. And so we worked a lot on this relationship to primary food and secondary food and this emotional connection. And through working on these underlying issues, the underlying emotions, and asking herself, what is she truly hungry for? Her health started to heal. She learned what helped her body feel best, like what to eat, how much of it, when exercise was good, you know, without overthinking it. But what she really found, which was most exciting, is that, and I find most exciting, is that she just spent the last year of her life helping people in Peru get out of the situations that they were in, really helping them build houses and move in a direction towards better health for them. And she had left her job by doing something that was more meaningful to her. And so she nurtured her primary food, and all of a sudden her obsession with secondary food started to fade away, and her digestion started to improve. So now, you know, I spoke to her a couple of weeks ago, and she says, I'm living my life to the fullest, and I can really see how my health supports me and doesn't stop me from living my dreams. And as I said before, women who are trying to find their right body, get into really deep connection with themselves, if we're really stuck just in our heads, we're losing, like Heidi said, this real profound way of nourishing ourselves, to be deprived of this gift that we have, which is this body that we've been given to live in. So, and I truly believe that a woman who embodies what I call food freedom is a woman who is embodied. Someone who sees that all of life is a place of nourishment and knows that her mind will play tricks on her, but her body never really lies. When we're really connected to our bodies, we can't go wrong. We just need more tools to dive deeper into getting embodied and developing our primary food needs. And that's why I created the Liberated Eating and Living intro audio series. And that audio series is something that you may be interested in if you're now turned on to this connection on how the food on your plate and off your plate are related. And if you're ready to expand your thinking beyond the calorie counting or restricted kind of learned beliefs that you had about food since childhood, and you want to explore different modalities beyond the Western nutrition like Ayurveda or macrobiotics, and how this can help your digestion and your hormonal system and your health, and you're really ready to ask yourself what you're truly hungry for from the inside out and start to feel and presence your body through meditation, through body awareness. And if you also notice on the wheel of life that the areas of sex and intimacy and relationship and connection and money and purpose needed some attention, and you'd like to get some ideas and tools on how to start to move those areas of your life forward towards the outer circle. So this audio series is a downloadable series of 6 teleclasses where I led some of them, and some of them I interviewed people in the areas who were experts in the fields. And you can download it and listen to it on your computer, or your iPhone, or any device you want to, and you can listen to it over and over again. And it comes with handouts and recipes also, so you can start to play in your own kitchen. And the series also comes with some bonus interviews I did. One is with this woman, Beth Crittenden, who's a financial counselor, and how we cannot be anorexic or a binger around money, just as the same as we may be with food. And the other bonus class I did is how to survive holidays and celebrations, right, using all these models that I've shared with you today. So this product starts to give you the tools to deepen into your primary food and secondary food relationships so that you're not only learning how to feed your body, but you're also learning how to nourish your soul. We only have a few more minutes, and I said I would promise you that I would share with you how to clarify what you're committed to when you reach for food through the lens of yoga. And so I'll just briefly say that there is a sage back in the time. His name was Patanjali, and he outlined the 8 limbs of yoga. And it has everything to do with really this place of being conscious in ourselves around food and our body. And the first 2 limbs on this 8-limb yoga path is what he calls the yamas and the niyamas. And the yamas and niyamas are a reference tool on learning how we look at ourselves and treat ourselves, and then how we treat the world around us. And so there's 5 yamas and 5 niyamas. But I picked 3 for us to focus on because, you know, you don't need all 10 right now. I just want to, like, pick actually 1 out of this 3. And I think that they're really great in helping women look at how they're committed to their relationship to dieting or health in general, as I like to put it. And so you may have noticed at some point in your life, in your sort of dieting career, as I sometimes say, that you may have been violent with yourself. You might have said thoughts about yourself or about food or about others or anything that had a damaging effect on your relationship to you reaching for food.
Hi, guys. I don't know why we lost Darshana. Hopefully she will dial back in really quickly. Kimberly's going to call her right now because we don't know if she knows that she's off, but we lost her. I just want to share that the people that she interviewed and the information that she's giving on these audios is outstanding and fantastic. So if you guys can spare the extra cash and you'll have that in your library, it's like having a library of audio that you can listen to and use again and again. That's amazing. And like I said, some of the people she interviewed are amazing. So it really goes along with what we're saying. And I see that she is back on the call. So we're going to give her back the mic. And so sorry for that blip. All right, Darshna.
I'm on.
Yeah,
I didn't know why I got disconnected. All right, so I'll just finish these. I know we only have like a minute and a half left, and it's totally fine. So I'm going to just kind of put these 2 things out there, that brahmacharya is about moderation, right? And isn't that a conflict that we've had, like how much should we eat, right? This is the question, how much? But if we start to practice it through this lens of yoga and like really stepping into what does moderation even mean to me, maybe we'll start to have some insights from another way. And the last one is santosha. And santosha means contentment. And this may be one of the, you know, real big edges that we get to in our lives, you know, contentment. And the place I want to bring the invitation in right now is the contentment with what is right now. That whatever weight you are today, however you ate today, how can we be okay with it? And I know that Heidi really works on this one day at a time kind of thing. And so this is really the practice of contentment. So on page 5 of your handouts, you'll see this thing of how are you being with your relationship to food? And I've outlined these 3 words. And I just want to invite you as homework to just do some writing about it and meditating on what these 3 words even mean to you so that you can start to really bring that into a connection into your relationship to food and start to bridge those gaps. And so with that, you'll find also in the handout some contact information on how to reach me in case you had any questions about today. And I just really want to take this last minute to thank Heidi once again and to thank those of you that were on the call and those of you listening to the recording and for your sharing, for your attention, and for your willingness to really wake up and become conscious in your body, because that's what it's really about. So thank you, Heidi.
Thank you so much for being on the call and doing, I love the information you gave, and I love that balance wheel. I actually hadn't done that before, and it just gives a new way to look at, and it kind of segues with our looking at our schedule, and is our schedule matching our values, and using that circle along with that would be really beautiful, and I love what you're teaching, and I'm so glad you're here in my area, and I get to connect with you and use you as a food freedom resource for my own self. So thank you again. And just for today, what do you want to fuel your bodies with? I love that. So signing off. Heidi Hahn-Scott and Darshana Weil, have a wonderful day and a wonderful week, and thank you for honoring yourself by giving yourself this time.